Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Other than enjoying this week's 70-degree weather, Andy, and getting out on the golf course, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jim. I love when I hate the time change when it gets dark early. I love when you lose that hour sleep and the clocks flip over like we just had. And then it gets dark at 7, and, you know, we got a little bonus here in March with some warm weather. It's not getting dark early, so the golf course is calling.
Of course. And for those who don't know, I know I've mentioned this before. If you're a regular listener, Andy is like an all-star golfer, okay? He's the best. He's got the nicest, smoothest swing I've ever seen. And the ball just takes off of his club. Andy, it's been a couple years since you and I played together. I really want to do that again.
That's up to you, sir. You know, I always say to you, you call the ball. You're the one that has the commitments and the time at another level. And I'm like, just tell me when and where, and I'll be there.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. Let's make sure we do that this year, Andy. Well, hey, the good weather isn't just there for you and I to go golfing. It's also available there for spring practice for James Franklin and the troops. How's that for a segue? Smooth, huh?
Smooth, Jimmy. You're on it today already. First 5 minutes, you're on your game. But, yeah, we're going to talk about practice. It's practice time. But spring ball has started.
Well, if you hadn't even had practice, we're excited about just getting that. But it also means James Franklin's annual get-together with the media. These things, you know, I actually think of James Franklin as being pretty good at these things. And he actually does share a pretty good amount of information, Andy. I know some people don't think so, but I think that with this press conference, he gave us a lot to talk about.
Yeah, he uses a lot of names, sometimes probably more than you would like or really care about, I guess is a better term. You're like, okay, yeah, but he's doing that for a reason. But he, if you listen closely and understand, you know, and after a decade, you know how to read a little bit James's tea leaves. He will tell you stuff and he will give you information in these because he answers questions fairly thoroughly and he generally gives an answer. It's not a question and, you know, he still does coach speak, but he doesn't do standard coach speak. So I think there's a lot of information to take away from what James talked about after, you know, as Penn State navigates its first week of spring practice.
Exactly. Before we get into, you know, the Penn State current players portion of this, we had a big signing in the NFL free agent market. And I know you're an NFL guy also. Saquon Barkley, an absolute favorite of Penn State fans. He signed with the Eagles. James Franklin happened to mention it. I'm an Eagles guy. Now, I know in the NFL, the running back position has been diminished. You're not supposed to spend a lot of money on running back. And the Eagles and Howie Roseman have followed that mantra. They went outside their normal way of handling things. Spent a lot of money on Saquon Barkley as a Tampa Bay Bucs fan. So you could be unbiased on this. What did you think of that signing?
So the Eagles have tried it one way. They've had some success with it where they've sort of used multiple backs and rotated them through. And they've had some, you know, they've had some incredible talent, right? Like they've, you know, some of it even former Penn State players. And last year it was, you know, Pennsylvania native, well, played his high school ball at St. Joe's Prep, Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. You know, they've always had a sort of serviceable number one running back, but they don't use their running backs that way in their offense. And I think after the sort of the way the offense fell through the floor last year. I think this is the Philadelphia Eagles saying they're going to do it a little bit differently this year. And when healthy, right? I think for Saquon, the thing is, if he's healthy and when he is healthy, he is one of those rare in the NFL modern game difference makers at running back. The only caveat is he on the field? And when he's on the field, he is going to be a difference maker. And imagine this. And I know Jason Kelce retired. God bless him. What a great human being. The Eagles still have a really good offensive line. Saquon has never had even a third of an offensive line, the likes of which he is about to have the opportunity to ply his trade behind if healthy. So I like the Eagles going this far outside the box and sort of stamping and saying, it's not going to be the same old. And I also think partially they have the receivers for Jalen Hurts. This has to take some, they had to figure out how to take some of the pressure off this offense, in this offense, off of Jalen Hurts. Too much of it was landing at the feet of Jalen Hurts. And I think in order to do that, you have to do something different. And I think Saquon is something different.
Through all that, I guess you're saying it was a good signing. And
I like
that,
it.
I do too, as an Eagles fan, Andy, because he's not a running back. He's a special running back. He's a difference maker. He's a weapon. And I think you hit it with the offensive line difference. All right, let's talk about Penn State stuff now, Andy. Let's talk about the current team. And probably the biggest deal is three new coordinators. Now, I'm not sure how much difference a special teams coordinator can make, Andy. I know they make a difference, yep. But I'm going to set that one aside. New defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, a lot of different circumstances why each one of them was brought in, but it's still the end result is the same. You are going to be changing things because you have new coordinators. How big a deal?
So I think it is the biggest deal right now in spring ball, right? Because you're not going to scuttle your offense because you have a new coordinator and start from scratch, right? But it is, and it, you have a new coordinator for a reason. It has to be different. It has to be new. It has to be fresh. It can have some of the old, but it has to have a good bit of the new in terms of terminology and the way, you know, your packages and your setups. It doesn't have to all be different, but there is an element of it. And I think, you know, you can do your sort of off-season initial install stuff, but really you get your feet underneath you. And this is, you know, still considered in my estimation the off-season. At these practices in the offseason like this, this is where you have to get your feet under you. This is where you have to get the what is a little bit new and what is old and figure out how to mesh them together. So on both sides of the ball, it's going to be the same. There's, you know, been some position changes, which we'll talk about on the defensive side of the ball for some key players. And you lost one hell of a coordinator. You lost one of the best, if not the best, coordinator, in my opinion, in all of college football, in Manny Diaz. That doesn't mean Tom Allen isn't any good at what he's doing and doesn't have some things he has to change. So there's a lot of legwork to be done, and this is the time to do it. And it's a big deal because this is where it has to be your most productive time, in my opinion. And I think all the new coordinators have some good ingredients to work with. They have plenty of sort of options. And I don't think, even compared to last year, doing some work to get ready for today's show, looking at it top to bottom, I think this team might be deeper than last year's team. I don't know if it's as shiny star on the top end in terms of elite talent, but it is extremely deep team. And I think these guys have a lot to work with, but they have to get this initial legwork done at a really high level. And James mentioned in his press conference pace, right? Like the pace, sense of urgency. And to me, what that meant was we are getting some new stuff put in, and that is there has to be a sense of urgency. And I think he's 100% right.
Yeah, you do have to treat it with some urgency. And he also, and I love the, you said when we started that there's always some coach speak in it. One of my favorite cliches, we're going to take it one day at a time, Andy, when yeah, he was right. asked about the overall preparation between now and, you know, West Virginia with the opening game. Well, we don't look at it that way. We're taking it one day at a time. Just once, I'd like to hear a coach say, well, our plan is we're going to take it 2 or 3 days at a time, Andy.
Never.
Actually, we're going to go crazy. We're going to go 1 week at a time. Anyway, I think for this Penn State defense, I do respect Tom Allen as a defensive coordinator, and I think he'll do a good job. But I think the bigger question is you're losing six players to the NFL, Andy, two defensive ends, a linebacker, and three cornerbacks. How are you, you know, backfilling those positions? And actually, I think they're in a pretty good position if you say, okay, they lost two defensive ends to the NFL, perhaps one even being a first-round pick. Well, you're backfilling with Denai Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter. Not so bad. Abdul Carter moving from linebacker, you know. How about Tony Rojas coming in? The safeties are the safeties.
He's going to play a big role. Tony yes. Rojas is going to have a major role to play for Penn State's defense in 2024. That's clear. That Tony Rojas allowed them to set the table and gave them the platform to move Abdul Carter to defensive end. Even though it was Abdul's idea, it set the table and allowed that to be a free and easy move. Yeah, without Tony Rojas, you don't have that table set like that.
Exactly. You had to have depth at linebacker to allow yourself to do that. We're going to talk a little bit more about Abdul Carter making his move in the next segment. But I think the biggest question mark on that defense is those three cornerbacks graduating. And you've got a couple that you brought in from the transfer portal from Florida and Georgia, respectively, that brings more talent to the room. And then the question will be, as our colleague T. Frank always says, it's that 11th player on the field where it was always Daquan Hardy, the third cornerback. Perhaps right. It's going to be a third safety this time where you have more depth. So we will get to that, Andy, when we pick this up in segment number two. Stay tuned for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. We're talking some Penn State football and more specifically, James Franklin's scrum with the media earlier this week. He gave us lots of information to talk about. Andy, we just alluded to it a little bit. The big move on defense is Abdul Carter moving from linebacker to defensive end. I don't think there was any doubt in anybody's mind. I think we all understand when you're talking about an NFL future, defensive end is a higher priority, higher paying position than linebacker is. So there's a motivation from Abdul Carter's point of view, but this was the first time that we were told that it was Abdul Carter who initiated moving to defensive end. But I don't think James Franklin's just going to do something that's going to harm Penn State. I think this is one of those win-win situations. It's good for everybody.
Yeah, he's not, it's sort of, you know, and I looked back and James indicated this when they were recruiting and when Abdul Carter committed to Penn State, that he could see him playing multiple positions on a defense. It just depends on where how it shakes out for him. But he said, he said that very early on. And then he indicated the other day that, you know, I kind of always thought he could be and might be best at the defensive end. It's almost like the opposite of Micah Parsons, right? Like, Abdul Carter's never played defensive end, you know, at any level per se on a regular basis. Well, Micah, when he came to Penn State and they made him a linebacker, he had never played linebacker in high school. He had never played linebacker before. He was always a defensive end and he played offense. And I mean, he tinkered at one or two plays here and there, a linebacker, but he had never played the position. So with the, you know, for Abdul Carter last year, it was a little of a slow burn season. Like, and I think James kind of alluded to it, that he wasn't quite as impactful as a player. And, you know, you could see that as a fan. Like, he wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. He wasn't a drag on the ticket, but he just wasn't that next step after what you saw in year one. It wasn't a full step forward. So I think they have a great need at the position as well. I think the need and him wanting to move there fits, right? They both make sense because, you know, it would have been a sort of second defensive end by committee and they would have been looking for somebody and it would have been a topic of conversation and yada, yada, yada. But the way the game is going with the edges, the corners, the defensive ends, that fifth, you know, defensive back, the 4-2-5s on the defense, you know, four defensive linemen, two linebackers, five defensive backs. It's becoming more and more prevalent. And the four defensive linemen, it's almost like a 3-4 where one of your ends is sort of a cover linebacker as well. Hello, that fits Abdul Carter to a T. You bring pressure from one side and you have options on the other. So it's just a matter of him learning some of the ins and outs and, you know, of the position because he's never played it. But when you have that much pure, raw athleticism and skill, you just sort of – you only have to do a little bit of winding up and let him go. He's already got some cover skills and stuff as a linebacker. I think it's going to be a very smooth transition because of the level of talent that he has, and it makes a lot of sense.
I do, too, as a Penn State fan. This is – Abdul Carter, you're putting him in a position to go after the quarterback more often. I think that's a good thing. But as I mentioned earlier about James Franklin in these press conferences, Andy, it's always interesting to me when he talks about something that wasn't exactly part of the question. And he brought up a couple things in answering about Abdul Carter's move. He said Abdul Carter was actually outgrowing the linebacker position. He also, unprompted, mentioned Kobe King in that same sentence. Now, I don't know if that means he's, you know, would consider moving Kobe King. I don't think so. I think he's where he belongs, that middle linebacker. But it was fascinating that he talked about that. And the final note to make is he talked about both the depth at linebacker, so we could afford to move Abdul Carter because of that, and also playing more nickel, as you alluded to, more two linebacker sets where you don't need three linebackers. So I think that's one of those decisions that comes across very well for everybody, works for everybody. I'm looking forward to seeing it, Andy. Let's move on. James Franklin also gave us some news, some injury news on the offensive side of the ball. Drew Shelton, who a lot of people assume he'll get one of those starting tackle positions, he's actually going to be out in the spring. That he had surgery after the season, and I believe whoever asked the question talked about Drew Shelton being in a sling. So, you know, it's obviously upper body, I would guess shoulder. But the interesting thing, he talked about the injury being one of those. He played through it last year.
Yep.
He chose to get the surgery immediately after the season, but he had a third. He had three options. Could have taken care of it immediately midseason, got it done right after the season as he did, or could have just lived with it and played with it. Now, for the sake of the player, I think the fact that he got it taken care of immediately during the offseason, that's probably the smart decision. Get it done, get it taken care of, be 100% in August. And he is, he's now a veteran player. So is it so important for him to be there at spring practice, Andy?
No, he's had enough seat time. He has been in a 2-year run where the offensive line had plenty of veteran experience and talent. He was able to get enough spring practice time and seat time, and then worked at both tackle positions in games, and he's played enough. He's made some starts. I just don't think I think getting him healthy is the better value proposition than saying, you know, he's going to miss spring ball and that's going to hurt him. It's not going to hurt him. I really don't think it is. You know exactly what he's going to do. You can plug him in playing wherever you find the hole. I mean, the obvious one is left tackle. And he's played there and started there. That's the obvious one, but it could emerge differently out of spring that, you know what, we found somebody for left tackle. Is it Rucci? Is JB Nelson in, you know, a swing player who can play tackle? Is it him? But either way, I think Drew Shelton has plenty of plug and play ability. He is a veteran, and I don't think him missing spring is relevant at all.
Andy, let's hit the offensive line hard here. We talked about Drew Shelton. Let me give you three talking points that came up on the offensive line, and you could attack this any way you want. He talked about Nolan Rucci getting up to 315 pounds when he had been listed at 300. And you and I talked about this previously, Andy, how James Franklin might take shots at people. He does it in a subtle way. And he talked about Nolan Rucci at 6'7". He looks skinny at 300 pounds. He really needs to put on weight, was James Franklin's take. And he said, I don't think he was ever over 300 at the last school. And it may have been subtle, but I took that as a little bit of a shot at Wisconsin not doing best by the player. But he did mention Nolan Rucci, and probably good news that he's put on 15 pounds since coming to Penn State. The two other things that he brought up were two true freshmen. And again, this is a little bit of a case of when he brings something up, I think it's significant. He mentioned the name Egan Boyer being in the mix at tackle, true freshman. That's unusual. And he also mentioned Cooper Cousins, a guy out of Erie that we've talked about a lot, who very talented interior offensive line, and he talked about him. He will begin his career as center. Oftentimes you'll see a guy start out at guard and then take on the responsibilities as center, but Cooper Cousins right away is going to be at center, and we've heard nothing but good things about Cooper Cousins. So a lot of information there on offensive line, Andy. Where you want to take it?
So I think he mentioned the freshman at tackle. because you've got two tackles out for spring, right? Like this kid's going to, he's going to be in there. He's going to see some time because Shelton and Sexton are not going to be available this spring, right? You're going to see him. So I, in a little bit of a way, I think this is a beating him to the punch because the expectation would be that he's not going to be a relevant part of the conversation to be a starter. It's those two tackles and maybe something else. You have to throw Rucci in there. I think he, as an underperforming tackle at Wisconsin, I think he's ready to bloom. Don't forget, 315 pounds, but he's got it. Gosh, I think he's 6'8", 6'7". He's a very long offensive tackle. I think his time is right, and I think this offense, after watching him in high school so much, the way Penn State plays offense and runs and uses the offensive line and the way their offensive line works, this feels like it fits him better. There is a power element to the Wisconsin game that doesn't fit Nolan Rucci's game. That doesn't mean he's a poor power blocker. It just means it's not his greatest strength. And I still think some of his greatest strengths will be better employed at Penn State. I think overall, when I look at the offensive line, I'm like, look, you got Sal Wormley back, right? Okay, Drew Shelton has some seat time, is not available. This is where you're going to see a lot of Penn State's depth that they've recruited and sort of developed over the last couple years while they've enjoyed an experienced offensive line. This is where you're going to see competition come to the forefront. You know, I love the move of putting Cooper Cousins at one position, while still saying at the same time he can play a multitude of positions, because I think you need to identify a backup center. I just think you need to have one. You need to have one identified. You need to have one prepared and ready. I don't think you need a left offensive guard backup, but I think you need a guard backup. You know, center's a one-off position. You can have a tackle and a guard. Guards and tackles can swing a little bit. Center's a whole different animal. So I think that's a really smart decision. I think that gives him a chance to learn the offense from the inside out instead of from the outside in, if you know what I mean. Like, he gets inside it.
All right, very good. Andy, that's going to have to be it for quarter number two. I'm in agreement with you about Cooper Cousins. I think having the veteran Nick Dawkins there and the heir apparent ready to go, I think that line of succession is the way to go, what you want to see. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter three, your questions, and we ask Andy. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question, real easy, all you got to do, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. Andy, let's start with Joseph in Scranton, who says, Andy, Andy Kotelnicki has a specific offense that seems to work. James Franklin said in his press conference, he's proud of the way Andy has compromised with the demands that James Franklin puts on his offense. How much do you think that actually waters down his offense and maybe makes it less efficient?
No. Yeah, that's a really good question, Joseph. I have to, like, I know what Andy's offense looked like at Kansas, and I think at Kansas he had carte blanche because that's less. But I also think at Penn State he's got a little bit different personnel group and a little bit different quarterback. So I think it's Andy's used to doing it sort of one way, his way. And James is like, I'm not telling you to change it completely from your way, his way, but I need you to meet me a little more in the middle because we have this, this, and this. And I don't want to completely, go away and abandon that. And I think he has to, I have to see it a little bit more with what he's got at Penn State and what they have as compared to what I saw at Buffalo and what I saw at
Kansas.
So it was, yeah, I kind of paused on that as well, that like, well, don't hamstring your new OC a little bit, but also at the same time, it makes sense, deep level football wise, why Andy's putting that restraint on him. I don't think you're going to see this offense shackled and drawn. I don't think it's a shackled and drawn offense. I just think it can't be as freewheeling and as sort of loose and wide open as Andy ran it at Kansas. I just think it wouldn't work. I don't think that would completely work here, and I think James is right.
A couple of quick points on it, Andy, is I don't think it's a case where Andy Kotelnicki has just a specific model. This is what he does. I think he will adjust to his talent, and the talent will be different at Penn State than it was at Kansas. I think there's also an aspect of this, which is just terminology, where, Andy Kotelnicki called things this versus what Penn State calls it. I think James Franklin wants Andy Kotelnicki to compromise, I think, a lot on terminology to make the process easier for the players. That doesn't mean he can't do the things he wants to do. And finally, I think James Franklin was disappointed in the things that Mike Yurcich was doing, had differences of opinion. James Franklin is still the head guy. He's the head coach. He's the boss. If there are certain things he wants, that's going to happen, Andy. And
Buck stops with him.
Right. So, he wants to make sure he gets things done the way he wants them done. All right. Next up is Chris in Chicago. And he actually sent this question to T. Frank, but I'm sure T. Frank would want nothing to do with this question. So I'm going to put it to you, Andy. Chris asked, why isn't Penn State growing Beaver Stadium capacity with their renovation?
Because I don't think there's a need. I can't see a need. Is it demand? I don't think the demand requires it.
That's exactly it, Andy. First of all, college football and sports in general, the demand is going down.
Okay. Yeah.
Teams are downsizing, which also they find it creates a greater demand for the tickets. You could charge more. Penn State does not sell out every game, okay?
Right.
That doesn't happen. We'd like to think that's the case. So I think actually it's a big deal if they even maintain capacity, Andy, and don't cut it down. Now, there are I've been told by members of the Board of Trustees, we're not going to compromise on capacity. I think there's still a case they might, because they might have to. If you're going to modernize the stadium, get rid of bleachers, put it in seat backs, they take up more space. If you're going to put in special higher end, not necessarily suites, but higher end seating, guess what?
Yeah.
Takes up more space. So it's going to be a challenge just to maintain capacity, Andy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jimmy. I think if you go down to 100,000, but you upgrade in a certain ways, and the in stadium used to be about going to see the football game, and that still matters. But today in the modern sport, it's about the experience. And right now at 109,000, you don't get much experience at Penn State. So I think this renovation has to be tied into creating the experience. And I don't see a need to increase the capacity. And I could see them going down to 100,000 to increase the experience. Makes sense. Good question, though.
Okay, let's go to Steve in Chicago. We're back-to-back Chicago here, Andy.
Wow.
Steve says, hey, Andy, you mentioned majority of the freshman class this year were captains on their high school teams. How important is it for Drew Aller to be named captain this year? I believe Clifford was a five-year captain.
Yeah, so, wow. I have not thought about whether or not Drew Allen needs to be a captain. I don't think just because you're the quarterback, you need to be a captain. So here's what I'm going to say. Very interesting, Steve, in Chicago. I think he has to earn his captain stripes. And he's hardest on himself. He's very hard on himself as a player. And it impacts him a little bit. And I think that was one of the biggest surprises to me last year, was he's so hard on himself and that it impacts him. How can he be your leaders need to, you can't tell in your leaders, they need to be the same, whether you're up three touchdowns or down two touchdowns. They're not impacted enough by that not to be able to still have a follow me mentality and posture for the rest of the team. So I don't think he has to be just because he's a quarterback. I think he needs to show the maturity that he grants himself a little grace as a player, so that way he can spread some of his true leadership qualities, which he has, to others. So I think it has to be earned, Jimmy. I think he's got to earn it.
Well, I think, Andy, when coaches name captains, they do it for two different reasons. One, the player has already demonstrated he's a leader. You name him the captain because, as you said, he's earned it. The second reason is because you want that player to be a leader.
Correct.
And it may be column B with Drew Aller. It may be we want this guy as the quarterback to have that confidence. I want him to step on the field with a little bit of arrogance. I want him to feel comfortable stepping out there. And if the wide receiver doesn't do his job, I want him to call him out. I want him to have the confidence to call out the other players. And sometimes coaches use that captaincy position strategically. And this may be a case here. And that's I think that's what Steve in Chicago may be driving at. And
yeah,
I tend to agree.
I'm not sure you want to force this one on Drew Aller. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think they can't see it, but you can, and therefore you're going to drop it at their feet and sort of put it on them, knowing that they can. I'm just not sure forcing it into Drew Aller's lap necessarily. It just doesn't feel right to me right now. And every player is different. I understand that. But I just think he needs to be more of a self-leader for himself first. And if he's showing that through spring ball now and through camp, then he's earned it, and you make him a captain. But I don't know if dropping it in his lap and sort of adding it to his plate, that just doesn't feel like the right call right now for me.
I feel like he's got it in him, Andy. I think you might just need to throw him in the deep end.
Drag it out of him.
I think he'll swim. All right, let's go to our good friend Stephen Potomac, who says, is Drew Aller or Bo Prabhula more likely to return to Penn State in 2025? Doesn't seem likely that both will. What assumptions, Andy, are you making about Penn State's season this year and their respective development in your answer?
Wow. So I think good concept. You've got me looking at the sky with my eyes thinking. I think if Drew Aller's development under Andy in this offense becomes realized at the level his talent already shows you that he is, he's gone. Because I think he's an NFL quarterback. I think Bo Prabhula is more likely to return because I think he could have a shot at being the starting quarterback for this offense in 2025. I really do. I know they like the quarterbacks they recruited, but this kid has an it factor that's sort of in the realm of the Trace McSorley type thing where, you know, it's just there. So to answer your question, I think it's very unlikely that both of them return. Highly unlikely is my thing that both of them return. And if I was, say, you had to pick one, I would say the most likely candidate to return in 2025 is Bo Prabhula.
I tend to agree with you, Andy. And Steve asked about the circumstances that would lead you to make the assumption. You put it out there, if Drew Aller plays well this year, he's got all those physical tools. He looks like what an NFL quarterback is supposed to look like. I think he'll move on and Bo Prabhula will take over. If things go south for Drew Aller this year, I think there's also, you know, still an opportunity where he might hit the portal thinking, okay, I've got all these physical skills. Penn State has been unable to bring them out.
Right.
So because of that, I will take a shot. We've seen it where guys, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Joe Burrow, so many of these guys who are very talented, it just didn't work in one place. They went somewhere else for a year, and they become NFL players. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. More to go in quarter four. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four of our show. Andy, today's show just flying by. It's a lot of fun conversation. Let's get back to James Franklin's press conferences. And it was interesting. One of the questions was, you have to tie Andy Kotelnicki to Drew Aller.
Right.
How will that change in offensive coordinators help Drew Aller? James Franklin talked about a couple things, play action passes, motion and shifts, pre-snap. And just once more, James Franklin taking a little shot at somebody. He mentioned how he said they did better at these things the last two games of last season, which just happened to coincide for the games that Mike Yurcich wasn't there. He was fired. So he can't help himself with that. What were your thoughts on his conversations about Andy Kotelnicki's effect on Drew Aller?
Yeah, so it's going to be the $64,000 question throughout the entire offseason. You're going to hear and read a lot about it. It's going to be discussed a lot, but it's going to be about when you start with West Virginia, what it looks like from there. I mean, generally speaking, if you look at the offense, right, and James even talked about this, the touchdown to interception ratio, et cetera. He's back on the explosive plays bandwagon, which I get it's an analytics thing. That one I understand. But the eye test is it has to happen and it can't be forced. And I'm sorry, James. It still feels like you're forcing it down our throat. I mean, overall in 2023, here's the thing, Jimmy. The offense, we know it had its problems, right? But generally speaking, 1 through 13, generally speaking, 400 yards and 36 points a game. And you lost three games. That's not quote-unquote bad offense. Now, what was it like when it really mattered? Yeah, it was Ohio State and Michigan, and it was 13.5 points and 239 yards a game against those two opponents. In other words, it was two different offenses. It was the offense against everybody else and the offense against level or a little bit of elite competition. And it just simply didn't measure up. So that is what I will be focused. What I think is the focus needs to be is, yeah, okay, so we got dudes and we can run an offense. But can we do it again when it goes to the next level? And they're going to have more next level games in 2024. It's not going to be just Ohio State and Michigan. I'm not saying they're both all going to be at that level either, but they're going to have more higher level games. So I think it's a matter of what can this offense do differently? And I think that it has to start with, can they make the wide receivers part of this offense? They did all of this without hardly any input or production from the wide receiver position in 2023. It was a drag on this offense, and overall they still averaged 36 points and 400 yards a game. It's not the quarterback. The quarterback, yeah, he's the quarterback, and that's going to be the relevant conversation. For me, this offense is about, can they make these wide receivers a relevant part of this offense? It can't be about the tight ends, the running backs, and the quarterback sometimes making chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. It can't look like that. This wide receiver position at Penn State has to contribute more in 2024. Otherwise, it doesn't matter that Andy's the offensive coordinator and Drew's the quarterback. He doesn't have enough help. He needs a little bit more help, and it has to come, and it must be from the wide receivers. That's my take, Jimmy.
Well, let's talk about those wide receivers, as James Franklin did. It was interesting, a couple of quotes when he was asked about the wide receivers, Andy. First of all, he said there's not a lack of talent at wide receiver. He talked a bit about Julian Fleming. And by the way, I find it fascinating. Every time Julian Fleming's name is mentioned, the word maturity is added. And I'm sure on the surface, that's a compliment to Julian Fleming. But I think it also is a statement about the rest of the wide receiver room that maybe it lacked maturity. But also then I think the third thing to talk about here, Andy, with the wide receivers is last year, especially with the injuries to Trey Wallace, it turned into Keandre Lambert-Smith and a bunch of other guys. Are you more comfortable this year if it's Julian Fleming, Keandre Lambert-Smith, and a healthy Trey Wallace?
Not really. I mean, when Trey Wallace was, you hardly saw him last year. What you saw was pretty darn, was enticing, right? I'll use that word. It was enticing, but you saw so little of it. I think he's going to be a key component. There's a lot of pressure on Julian. And I think when James talks about maturity, remember he recruited him. So I think he's talking about maturity as a receiver and maturity as a person. He's a very different player than if they would have gotten him when they were recruiting him. So I think he's capable of performing at a certain level. I think he's a difference maker. Keandre Lambert-Smith played all year. He was available pretty much all year. And as it got more difficult for the wide receivers to produce in this offense, he became less and less relevant and visible. And the maturity part, I think, has to go to – I think James is right about the talent. He's not wrong. Now, there's like 15 of them, but he's not wrong. I think that it's a combination of their development and their grind and a little bit. I think he kind of sort of called out his coach, we need to see a little bit more from you in your second year as the wide receivers head coach. I need you to be a little bit better with this group. I think all of that is playing into it, but they do have talent, but it's completely unrealized and it's a drag on the ticket. I see Julian Fleming as being a turnkey, but I see Trey Wallace as being the one who can light the lamp for this offense. He's got to be healthy. He's got to play. And I think Keandre Lambert had, I think his window closed, to be honest with you. He had his shot as the wide receiver one, and they needed him. Didn't show up.
You know, the question becomes, will he be better, say, as wide receiver three, where
maybe
a Trey Wallace and a Julian Fleming will take some pressure off him. Speaking of position three on the pecking order, James Franklin was asked about the running backs. I think, you know, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, they're a given. Trey Potts has moved on. So the question becomes, who's the number three running back? And again, James Franklin, he gives very good answers, I think. He gives you the answer that you could hang on, which is he talked about the two redshirt freshmen who are coming back, London Montgomery and Cam Wallace. He talked about Cam Wallace as being, did great things in the offseason. He put some good weight on, good size on, and hasn't lost any of his quickness or explosive movements. Been very, very pleased with him. And talking about London Montgomery, he said he's not changed his body a whole lot. I think he's still only 185 pounds. That's going to make it challenging for him. To me, that's James Franklin telling us Cam Wallace is next in the pecking order, Andy.
Yep. Yeah, no. The one part that James said about Cam, and I think running back three is really important in Penn State's offense. When you've got Allen and Singleton, you think, wow, those two guys. The third running back position is important. for many reasons, and we'll get into it. But what he talked about, Cam, it's a dead giveaway. He really handled the redshirt process the right way. End of story. Cam is your running back three, in my opinion. I think he's going to develop in that role. He needs to develop for Penn State in that role because they're not a one-back offense. They run a one-back set, but they rotate and use the running backs in such a smart, sensible, variable way that I think if you lose one of them with these two studs, it's going to have an impact. But I think if you have your running back three that you've used and developed, I don't think it changes that much. I don't think you can ride one of these horses as the only running back. So that's why I think the running back three position is really important at Penn State for the kind of offense that they run. Look, if Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are healthy and on the field, Penn State's offense is better. But I think that third option is really important in my mind. And I think it's Cam going forward because I don't think either one of the other young guys is there yet.
And Andy, you've got to look at this as you've got two really, really good running backs. They're going to split it 50-50, the carries pretty much. We've seen that the last 2 years. And as you said, if they're healthy, everything's fine. But it's hard for running backs to stay healthy. Now, I think partially they stay healthy because they are splitting the load. But things happen to running backs, so you've got to be prepared with the third guy. And I think Quentin Martin, who's the incoming freshman, I think a lot of people are really excited about him. It's interesting, we heard this from Chuck Losey, now we're hearing it from James Franklin, that he came in a little bit raw. You know, it was maybe he didn't have that same preparation in high school in the weight room, some of those kind of things. But I think they really like him and feel like, hey, he has further to go, which means he's probably has more improvement in him and that they've already seen him. But don't assume he's going to be that third back right away. That's a lot to ask for a freshman. And finally, Andy, I'm going to jump to the defense real quickly as the last item, talking about the safeties. It was interesting. You have KJ Winston, you have Jalen Reed, and that third safety, Zakee Wheatley, he said, did a lot of good things during the offseason. We talked earlier about Daquan Hardy being that third down defensive back coming in. It doesn't have to be a cornerback. Maybe it's going to be a safety this year, Andy, because you got three really good safeties.
Yeah, I think it is a safety this year that comes down and plays that the 11th man, as you call it. What a safety room. I mean, I think all three of them are NFL players. I really do. I think it's just a matter of I think the decision for Tom Allen comes down to who will be the best in the box guy. That's it.
And it's not necessarily the third guy, Zakee Wheatley. In fact, James Franklin talked about it being Jalen Reed. All right, Andy, that's going to have to be it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.